Let's return to our coverage of the Aisling Murphy murder trial, as 33-year-old Joseph Pushka of Linalee Grove in Mucklagh, County Offaly, is on trial for a murder he denies. Our courts correspondent Frank Graney was watching the evidence on Friday. And morning, Frank. We heard a lot from paramedics to begin with.
That's right. The trial on Friday kind of picked up where it had left the previous day with evidence about the first responders. We heard on Thursday from a Garda in Tullamore Garda Station, a Garda Tom Dunn, who took a phone call from a member of the public who had discovered Aisling's body along the Grand Canal there in Tullamore. And we heard about the efforts to resuscitate her at the scene by himself and his colleague. And then on Friday, the case heard from the paramedics who arrived at the scene soon afterwards. We heard about the efforts to bring her up from where she was down in a ditch alongside the canal. The paramedics felt that it'd be easier to work on her on a flat, hard surface up on the towpath. So they did that. They set up a chain with the Gardaí who were at the scene and they carried her body up to that hard footpath. And we heard evidence of a life pack that was brought out from the ambulance. This, we heard, had a defibrillator. It also had a number of diagnostic tools. And before they started to shock Aisling's body, they ran a number of diagnostic tests. They were obviously checking for vital signs and sadly they found none, and a decision was made by the paramedics collectively to cease resuscitation at that point. They stepped back, they allowed the Gardaí carry on with their work, and later that evening then a doctor arrived at the scene to formally pronounce Aisling as dead.
You mentioned the Gardaí moving in to do their work, so what did they recover? What evidence from the scene?
Well, a number of items were recovered and taken away for further analysis. And in relation to that specific evidence, we heard from a detective Garda, Ronan Lawler, a very experienced scenes of crime investigator. He described going out to the scene that evening. This would have been after Aisling was pronounced dead. When he arrived, he said he saw a number of blue forensic tents at the scene. He went into them. Inside one of them was Aisling Murphy's body, and he described what lay inside there. He also spoke about another blue forensic tent. Inside that one was a bicycle with green handlebars and grey in colour, he said. He took a number of items away from the scene, or he collected them for evidence, and they were shown to the jury. And we also heard that he attended at Aisling's post-mortem the following day, and that the pathologist who carried out that examination of Aisling passed on a number of items of clothing, and all of those were shown to the jurors on Friday. They included a blood-stained GAA top. We've heard about that previously from the Gardaí who were first on the scene. This was a Kilcormac Killahy GAA top, a Camogie top, and we heard that was Aisling's local club. That was shown to the jurors. So too was a blood-stained white T-shirt, some items of jewellery that were taken from Aisling as well. At the post-mortem were shown to the jurors. They included a necklace with a pendant that read Aisling, and also a ring. In relation to that ring, we heard that she was wearing a Claddagh ring on her right hand, on her ring finger on her right hand. There was also a pair of blue Nike runners taken from the scene, and a pink bobble hat and a heavily blood-stained grey scarf. And again, all of those items were shown to the jurors on Friday. So too was a Fitbit device that was shown to the jurors. And we've heard a little bit of detail about that in relation to Aisling going out exercising that afternoon, and some details in relation to that Fitbit watch that she had on her at the time.
Let's move on to the CCTV evidence. And I suppose a little bit of background might be helpful. The scale of this trawl that Gardaí did in trying to put together this patchwork of different camera angles, different qualities of footage, different time periods. Give us the background to that exercise, Frank.
Well, it was one of the first steps of the Gardaí investigation after Aisling's body was discovered along the canal, was to go out and seek CCTV footage in the hope of perhaps identifying a suspect in the area at the time. Now, we did hear some evidence about CCTV being sought from a premises that had a camera outside, and this was along the canal. But unfortunately, there was no footage on that camera. We heard that it wasn't powered up at the time. It wasn't working properly. So the guard who gave evidence in relation to this is based in Tullamore Garda Station, Garda David Harney. And he said that one of his jobs was, as part of the CCTV team, was expand the radius from outside the crime scene. So they would have moved backwards. And he said that they were armed with certain pieces of information. There was a bike, the description of a bike that was of particular interest to them, a Falcon bike with green with green forks, black, grey in colour, and also the description of a suspect. And this was based on a description given by a woman who gave evidence last week, who was out for a run along the canal that afternoon, a woman called Jenna Stack, who claimed that she stumbled upon an alleged assault in the hedgerow. She described a man with a foreign accent, and she gave certain features to the Gardaí that evening. So the CCTV team would have been looking for somebody fitting that description on the CCTV footage that they harvested. But in total, 25,231 hours of CCTV footage were harvested as part of the overall investigation. Now, clearly, by my calculations, that's almost 3 years of footage, and that isn't going to be shown to the jurors in total. But the CCTV team had the task of distilling all of that footage into something that would be suitable to be presented at trial. And a compilation was eventually whittled down with all of what they felt was the relevant footage, and the jurors were shown that compilation on Friday.
And what does that montage show?
Well, there were a series of clips shown to them in the afternoon from 25 past 12 that afternoon on the 12th of January last year to 5 past 2. And the prosecution went through these clips. They were playing them with some narration from Garda Harney, who was presenting this evidence from the witness box. And the prosecution says, show Yusuf Pushka on a bike cycling from Mukla, where he was living at the time, to Tullamore. And the prosecuting barrister, Ms. Anne-Marie Lawler, in her opening speech last week, she told the jurors, she described this journey around Tullamore as Mr. Pushka aimlessly meandering around the town. We were shown these clips. We were shown clips of a woman called Beata Barofska, who was out for a walk that evening. And you could see on the clips, according to Garda Harney, Yusuf Pushka cycling in the same direction as her. Ms. Barofska then goes into Tesco, and Yusuf Pushka turns around and goes back towards the town. We also saw some footage in relation to a woman called Anne-Marie Kelly, whom the prosecution told the jurors on Friday they would hear from in due course. She's out for a walk with her dog that day, and Yusuf Pushka is cycling in the same direction as her. We see her on one of the clips, according to Garda Harney, at the Church Road roundabout there, that I'm sure your listeners would be familiar with. You can see Anne-Marie Kelly in that piece of footage crossing the road with her dog. Yusuf Pushka crosses the road at roughly the same location as she had. So that goes up right until 2:05, when Yusuf Pushka is said to be seen on his bicycle around the Dangan Road car park, which is where a lot of people would park if they were going out to use the canal for exercise or for a walk or whatnot. So that's the last footage that we saw of Yusuf Pushka at 2:05. Now, the prosecution says that Ashley Murphy was killed at 3:30 that afternoon. There were no cameras along the stretch leading up to where her body was found. The prosecution will say that Mr. Pushka appears on CCTV in the Tullamore area again later that evening, after 9:00 in the evening, when a dark figure could be seen walking back towards Tullamore town from the bypass. Now, that is being disputed by the defence. It is Garda Harney who is of the view that Mr. Pushka is seen walking back into the town, that he is that dark figure. But that is, as I say, being disputed or contested by the defence. The next tranche of clips that was shown to the jury on Friday then related to an address in Crumlin in Dublin, where you could see in the early hours of the following morning, you could see Yusuf Pushka and his parents, and it is accepted that that's them, exiting a car at an address in Crumlin, an apartment complex. Mr. Pushka goes into that apartment complex with his parents, And Garda Harney pointed out, again through his narration to the jury, the fact that it seems that Mr. Pushka was wearing a different change of clothes than he had been wearing in the footage that was seen earlier that day. He was on his phone. He seemed to be moving freely, according to Mr. Harney or Garda Harney. And he also said that as he goes into that apartment complex, he's sporting a beard. The next morning then, or shortly before the afternoon on the same day, you see a clip from outside that apartment complex. There's an ambulance outside, and you can see, as Garda Harney told the jurors, you can see Josef Pushka now in what was described as a carry chair. A paramedic was wheeling him out to the ambulance, and Garda Harney pointed to the fact, again in his narrative, that he believed that he looked clean-shaven, that he wasn't sporting the beard that he had the night before. The next clips that were shown then were from outside St. James's Hospital in Dublin. They show the ambulance pulling up. They show Mr. Pushka being brought into the hospital by a number of paramedics. This time he is on a stretcher. And I suppose the final grouping, for want of a better word, of footage that was shown to the jurors on Friday related to Aisling Murphy and her movements in the lead up to her alleged murder that afternoon. We see her leaving the national school that she worked in Duro. She gets into a red SEAT car, and then she's seen driving towards the Tullamore area. She's seen pulling into that car park on Dangan Road. And the last clip of her is at about 10 to 3 in the afternoon, when she's seen out walking, and Garda Harney gave a description of the clothing that she was wearing, a bobble hat, dark leggings, and light-coloured trainers with a white sole. And that was the last time she was seen on the footage, again at 10 to 3. And as I said a little bit earlier, the prosecution believes that she was killed 40 minutes later.
Mm. Well, the trial will continue, and as ever, Frank, thank you very much for your coverage.
Thanks, Will.
Frank Rainey is our courts correspondent. It's 21 minutes past 10. We'll keep you updated through the afternoon on our bulletins here as more evidence is heard in that trial. And you can listen as the jury hears that evidence. But just be mindful, as we always try to encourage you, not to comment on social media about this or indeed any other case, because it may compromise the outcome.